When we invest our hard-earned money, we naturally seek a financial return. But could there be other rewards as well? Hi, I'm Rob West. Faith-based investing offers more than just financial gains. Today, Finney Kuravilla joins us to explore the deeper impact of aligning our investments with our values. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest today is Dr. Finney Kuravilla. He's co-chief investment officer and senior portfolio manager at Eventide Asset Management, an underwriter of this program. Finney holds an MD from Harvard Medical School and a PhD in chemical biology from Harvard University, and yet his passion is faith-based investing. Finney, great to have you back with us.
It's great to be with you, Rob.
Finney, at our recent Kingdom Advisors Conference, you highlighted three benefits of faith-based investing. They were integrity, impact, and performance. And we're going to break those down today. But first, you know, these principles, I think, also address common objections to faith-based investing. So if you don't mind, let's start there. What are some of those more common objections you hear about faith-based investing?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. There's three main objections that we hear, and certainly Christians can have different views on these, but let me give you our take on these objections.
Sure.
The first objection that we hear is, I'm not responsible for the actions of the companies that I own. And the way that we normally respond to that is by saying that investing is ownership. When someone is investing in a publicly traded company or a private company, you own shares in that company, which means you're a part owner. And that means that you are in some way connected to its actions. So if you owned a small business and that business were, say, afoul of the laws, that would reflect on you. And in the same way, we would say that if you own partial stakes in a publicly traded company, that you're connected to those actions as well.
Yes.
The second objection that we hear is, what difference does it make? These are big companies. Well, in reality, one of the things that we have observed over the years is it's a lot like voting, where we know that in a vote, say presidential election, we just went through one not that long ago, that less than 1% of the total number of voters are actually the determiners of the election. And in the same way, it's actually very small percentages that swing the ethos of these companies in either direction. And so this is something that we feel very strongly about and have data that even a small percentage of people can make a big difference. The third objection that we often hear is concerns about underperformance. And we would make the case that ethical investing, investing in line with good, solid values, doesn't necessarily mean low returns. And in fact, we would make the case that companies that operate with integrity, that are run by qualified management teams, that are doing responsible business practices day in and day out, that they should be outperforming their peers and even give reduced risk over the long haul.
Yeah, that's well said. I want to dig into a couple of these. We just have about 90 seconds before our first break. Investing is ownership. And that's true, Finney, even if we're buying these shares on the secondary market. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, you are an owner even on the secondary market, which means that you can vote in, for example, shareholder resolutions, and you have a stake that's very meaningful no matter how big or small that it is.
And isn't it also true that, you know, there's all kinds of ways that we can engage culture and bring Christ with us and Christian values? I think it's fascinating just how important corporate America is and the boardrooms of the biggest companies in this country in terms of influencing our culture, which also means that we can make a big difference by way of our shareholder engagement. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. I mean, you touched on something really important there, which is that companies really shape culture in powerful ways. Think about social media. Think about big tech. Think about how much our behaviors are influenced by advertisements, et cetera. And so this means this is an opportunity for Christians in particular to step up and to have their voice be exerted in the marketplace as these companies respond to their respective shareholders.
What an opportunity. We're talking faith-based investing today with Dr. Finney Caravella. He's co-chief investment officer and senior portfolio manager at Eventide Asset Management and underwriter of this program. When we come back, three benefits of faith-based investing: integrity, impact, and performance. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. The Bible is full of divine tensions. It shows us that God is three persons, yet still one God, that He's a God of justice and mercy, love and wrath. Throughout history, some have tried to simplify and resolve those tensions, but doing so has always led into false teaching. God reminds us who He is in Isaiah 46. He says, "I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things not yet done." You see, the otherness of God would make Him all but incomprehensible to us if He hadn't made Himself known, which He did in the person of Jesus Christ. Try out Anchor Devotional in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Every single believer is called to ministry. Don't buy the narrative that is limited to a select few. Every single believer is called to execute our King's Great Commission. But let us be about our Father's business. Our nation's greatest and most enduring need is for repentance of the unbeliever. Repentance across the board. Believers who live lifestyles of repentance.
Join Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Healthcare is complicated. It doesn't have to be. If you don't love how your health insurance works, maybe it's time to leave traditional health insurance behind. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers you flexibility. Enroll anytime. Choose your own provider and select the program that fits your needs and budget. CHM is the original faith-based way of taking care of your medical bill costs. Learn more at chministries.org/faithfi.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. With me today, my friend Dr. Finney Caravella. He's co-chief investment officer and senior portfolio manager at Eventide Asset Management, an underwriter of this program and a real leader in faith-based investing. And Finney was a teacher, was a part of the faculty, if you will, of our recent Kingdom Advisors Conference. And he had the opportunity to teach on really some of the key benefits of faith-based investing: integrity, impact, and performance. And I'm looking forward to unpacking some of these. Finney, you started by talking about some of the common objections. One of those you said is, well, I'll underperform if I choose faith-based investments, essentially limiting my universe of investments to those that align with my values. And yet you said there is compelling data out there, even empirical data, that would say not only do you not underperform, it can be a source of outperformance, right?
That's exactly right. And to illustrate this, there is a lot of data out there, both from the academic world and the business world, that, for example, if you are serving your customers well, then those customers will come back and they'll recommend that particular product or service to their friends and family, which will increase your own repeat business, as opposed to taking advantage of your customers or clients which we've had experiences like that, you don't want to go back. That's a simple example, but it's a powerful one. Similarly, companies that are adding value to their employees, where people just love to be at work there. They love to be advocating for the company. They bring their best self to work. Those are the kinds of companies that outperform over the long haul. So it shouldn't be a surprise that companies that are adding value as opposed to extracting value are the ones that do the best over the long haul.
Yeah, I love that. You're exactly right. It should be true. And I love that the data says it absolutely is. All right, let's dive into these benefits a little deeper. The first one, of course, is this idea of integrity. Share with us how faith-based investing upholds integrity and why that should matter for our listeners as Christian investors.
Yeah, the banner that we would put over investing is the love your neighbor principle. Hopefully that's something that we can all get behind, where we want to be treating people as we want to be treated. That's the positive statement. The negative statement would be, for example, from Proverbs chapter 1, where the father is speaking to the son, and the father tells the son not to pursue what he calls ill-gotten gain, which means gains that comes from exploiting others or taking advantage of individuals. So for example, tobacco or gambling, there's a lot of those stocks that are in, say, some of the largest ETFs and funds that are out there. And we would make the case that that's taking advantage of human weakness. And that's something where we don't want to be participating in those kinds of hollow returns. Investing with integrity means loving our neighbor and trying to seek their welfare. That's something that should be compelling to those of us who are especially faith-based investors.
Yeah, I love what your coworker Jason Meyer says when he talks about really the purpose of investing is to supply capital, and really the intent of business is goods and services, right? So it should be good for our neighbors and it should serve others, correct?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, it's not baths in taking advantage, it's goods and services. And sometimes we forget that business at its core is supposed to be adding value to society. And we live in an era now where people are more suspicious of business because sometimes we've forgotten the purpose of business. And one of the things that we as investors, we as financial advisors can be doing is getting that positive dimension of business back into view, which should help us to build trust again with the wider public.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Now, let's talk about the real impact that's possible, Finney. Some people might argue that investing in alignment with Christian values doesn't really make a difference. Explain how that's not true.
Yeah, one of the examples that I love to talk about is the example of apartheid in the 1970s. So apartheid was a system of separation where the blacks and the whites were segregated, different restrooms, different water fountains, et cetera. And there were a lot of attempts from governments. There was an embargo. There was a lot that tried to bear into that problem. But in fact, what proved decisive was a relatively small group of Christian investors in the United States who worked with Reverend Leon Sullivan, and they petitioned Ford and General Motors to abolish the system of apartheid within the companies themselves. So to have, for example, integrated restrooms, et cetera, within their own facilities. And those shareholder resolutions were adopted. And then after Ford adopted it, Goodyear followed, and the dominoes began to fall. This is a good example of what investors can do, albeit small, with just the strategic use of their influence of shareholder resolutions in order to influence companies toward the good. And so we think there's a lot of examples that are available like that today, where we in the faith-based and Christian community can use our influence to promote the common good and human flourishing.
Finney, in your presentation, you talked about total return in God's economy. And I think this is a big idea, and a lot of investors miss this. So talk about the connection between integrity and impact and how they contribute to financial success.
Yeah, this is a big topic. And normally when people will talk about total return, they just mean share price return plus dividend return. But we would make the case that that's too small of a picture of what return looks like. In fact, you should think about total return as extending beyond financial gains into integrity and impact. So I like to think of total return as being an equation where it's total return equals financial return plus integrity plus impact. And how do you put a price on integrity? It's something that we would say is priceless. Impact, how are the investments that we're making changing the world and shaping the world in ways that are either in line with our values or hostile to our values? And when one looks at this full picture here, this is really exciting because we would make the case that total return is something that can enlarge human flourishing beyond just the numbers. And it's something that we think is vital to promote here in the 21st century.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And yet, this is a brand new idea, Finney, for most believers that love Jesus and want their values, their faith values, reflected in every domain of their lives, and yet they had no idea that could include their deployment of capital through investment. So how would you counsel the average listener today to get started in this?
Yeah, one step at a time. It can be a whole new paradigm shift here, but I would say that the average investor should start by using some of the screening tools that are out there or going with fund managers or other portfolios that prioritize ethical and faith-based values without sacrificing returns. There's a lot of great firms that are out there. We're one of many, and we would just encourage everyone to start to explore what are the options out there. And we're fans of using professional guidance to help make those decisions.
Yeah, very good. We've got about 40 seconds left. Finney, tie a bow on this for us.
Yeah, we are excited about this. We think we're in the early stages of what can be a movement as Christians integrate their faith and their values into their investments, that integrity is not at odds with our investing. It should enhance our investing if we're intentional and use professional guidance to build portfolios that honor God while maintaining that kind of strong growth profile that we're all hoping to achieve.
I think that's well said. I appreciate your leadership in this space. Incredible thinking, incredible products there at Eventide. Thanks for your partnership and for being here today.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Great to be with you.
Our guest has been Finney Kuravilla. He's co-chief investment officer and senior portfolio manager at Eventide Asset Management. Learn more at eventidefunds.com. That's eventidefunds.com. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE. And talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We're grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Well, great to have Finney Curavilla with us today. Finney's a good friend, a real leader in this area of faith-based investing. Wow, it's so exciting to watch what's happening across this space. You know, even 5 years ago, although there was some early adopters, some key asset managers like Timothy that have been in this space for a long time, just the growth of the number of ultra high quality investment solutions that have an expressed purpose to not only pick world-class investments that provide appropriate risk-adjusted returns and outperform for their shareholders, but also add this second layer, which Finney would say is an additional source of alpha, an additional way that we can outperform its peers or its benchmark, and that is the alignment with faith values, that these companies are loving their neighbors and thinking about the impact of their products on their employees and their stakeholders and their customers and the environment, and screening out those companies that would be misaligned with Christian values, and that those companies absolutely stack up, if not do better, than their peers. And the great thing is now investors like you listening to this program can ensure that as you deploy God's capital, you're doing it into companies by way of your investments that are God-honoring. And that's really exciting that this whole space is taking off. Eventide, of course, a leader in that. If you'd like to learn more, just go to eventidefunds.com, eventidefunds.com. You could also direct your advisor to Eventide Funds. By the way, if you'd like an advisor who understands faith-based investing and can build portfolios for you with this in mind, when you look for a Certified Kingdom Advisor at faithfi.com, faithfi.com, click Find a Professional, you'll be able to say, I want someone in investments and I only want to see the CKAs that do faith-based investing, if that's important to you. And that list of CKAs will be limited to just those that have demonstrated that they can employ faith-based investments in portfolios. So just go to faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, and click Find a Professional at the top of the page. All right, we're ready to turn the corner here today and tackle whatever's on your mind. Call right now with your financial questions. That number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be headed to the phones here in just a moment. But first in the news today, a troubling statistic. A new report by Savings.com shows that for the first time, 50% of parents with a child older than 18 provide them with some financial support. That's up 45%, or up from 45% just 2 years ago. So a meaningful jump. Key findings include the average support per child is about $1,475 monthly. That's about 6% higher than last year. 83% of supporting parents contribute to their adult kids' monthly groceries. 65% help with the cell phone. Nearly half pay for vacations. More than three quarters of supportive parents attach some type of conditions to the financial assistance, but 23% give the money without any conditions at all. Now, these last two stats are the most troubling, I think, because nearly 50% of parents have sacrificed their financial security to help their grown kids financially. And working parents who support grown kids contribute more than twice as much to their adult children as they do their own retirement savings. It's never a good idea to support someone indefinitely when they're able to support themselves. So here's what I would say. Parents who do this need to set conditions, establish an end date, make sure you have clear communication. You know, perhaps if somebody's, you know, if a grown child is living with you, you know, there's a time frame there. Maybe you're collecting rent, even if you stick it in a savings account and you decide to bless them with it at the end. If you're helping financially, there needs to be a pathway, because inadvertently we may be encouraging poor financial disciplines. and leading them away from good financial decision-making habits. We don't want to do that. Your desire is to help, not harm. So let's just make sure we exercise some tough love when needed, even if that means cutting off support when an adult child is not willing to go out and work and support themselves on their own after a reasonable period of time. So interesting and troubling stats. Hopefully you can take something away from that. That'll be an encouragement if that's a situation you find yourself in. All right, let's head to the phones today. 800-525-7000. Three lines open. You can call right now. Let's go to Ohio. Miguel, thank you for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi there.
My name is Miguel Campbell. And I'm from Ohio. I own a painting company, and it's kind of slow right now. So I'm trying to get some advice, what to do and how to move forward. I'm kind of, you know, low on cash flow and financially, you know, in a deep hole. So
yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Miguel. I know that's challenging. I mean, I think there's two kind of pieces to this. Number one is, what do you need to do to stay afloat and, you know, make sure you don't get deeper in a hole? And I think that involves just the, you know, recognition that perhaps you need to supplement that, you know, business that you own and run with some steady income. So do you need for a period of time to go out and get a second job, something where, you know, you could get paid regularly just to cover some of the basics at the very least, to keep, you know, food on the table, gas in the truck, and, you know, keep those keep the utilities paid, the rent paid, and, you know, make progress on the debt, you know, while you work on the business. You know, I would say in terms of the business itself, let's make sure we keep the personal and the business separate to the best of your ability. I know that's difficult to do with a small business. Everything kind of can run together. The problem is that can create challenges for you from an IRS standpoint. You want to be able to deduct certain business expenses, and especially if you have a loss, it's hard to, you know, demonstrate and defend that if everything is kind of piled together, both personal and business expenses. I think in terms of, you know, where you go from here, you know, I think you need to nail down your niche. What is your niche? Is it residential interiors? Is it exteriors? Is it commercial? Build that reputation, get online and get visible, network like crazy. You know, I think you just need to really leverage all the tools. But the key is, we want to get you to a place where you have sustainable income. Hang on the line. We'll finish after the break.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
Financial fear is real. But so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart. But Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and begin your journey with Look at the Sparrows today.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We've got two lines open. We're going to get right back to the phones here, 800-525-7000. Before the break, we were talking to Miguel in Ohio. He's 43 years old. He's an independent painter working full-time. Work is really slow. He's gotten into some debt and just wondering how to manage this. And we're going to talk about the debt here next. But just to go back where we were before the break, Miguel, give me your thoughts before we talk about the strategy to manage the debt on, number one, do you need to find some other income to supplement while you're working on building the business, you know, back up and meeting your obligations so you don't go deeper into debt? And then number two, do you have good, clear delineation between your personal finances and the business? Give me your thoughts on both of those.
I don't really have good delineation between my personal and my business. That's one thing I need to work on.
Yeah. Okay.
You said financially wise, where I need to get back.
Do you need to think right about now, maybe picking up some additional work with a steady paycheck, even if it's hourly, just to kind of get through this period here?
I maybe need to, but the only difference is the season is about to change right now because I do both interior and exterior. Okay. So, it's a little bit cold right now in Ohio, so you can't really do any exterior painting. And I have, you know, exterior jobs that line up for next month.
Got it.
Because next month should be warmed up.
Okay.
But it's, you know, so I don't want to, you know, go out there and go pick up a job now for just a month. And have, you know, because that's not good for me as an individual, you know, any employer.
I certainly get that. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think the key would be, and this, I realize this is easier said than done, but if you recognize that your business is going to be somewhat seasonal, you know, obviously you can do the residential in the winter and, you know, that's where you need to focus your marketing leading up, you know, to the winter months so you can stay consistent. But to the extent every year you're going to have a dip in revenue and business in the winter, you know, what can we do to live on kind of this monthly average for the year, you know, so that you don't, you know, go into the hole each winter. But let's talk about the debt. What do you have in the way of credit card and other debt right now?
Well, in credit card right now, I'm in debt for about $70,000.
$70,000
credit card. Yeah.
Yeah. And are you trying to service that and stay current on that every month?
I'm trying. I just fell off like about 2 weeks because it gets so, you know, really bad. So
here's what I would do. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously a lot of debt and we need to get you out of that. You know, I would contact my friends at Christian Credit Counselors and let's start there. One of the things they will do is not only the card will have to be closed, any card you put into credit counseling. And so you need to be willing to live without at least, you know, a couple of these, hopefully the bigger ones, And that may be problematic just where you find yourself, but we've got to break the cycle of the incurring more and more debt. The key would be they will re-age the account, so anything that's past due will be brought current as long as you can maintain that payment moving forward. And, you know, typically it'd be about 3%, which is $2,100 a month. So I realize that's a significant amount of money. But they'll get the interest rates down. And obviously, if we can turn the corner here and get your business moving again with the opportunity for the exterior painting coming back with the warmer temps, you know, maybe this is that season where you get on top of things. The key will be let's dial your lifestyle spending back as lean as possible, cut expenses wherever possible, and, you know, let's try to work towards separating the personal and the business activities so you've got good books both ways. And you can, you know, take full advantage of the business expenses from a tax standpoint, because we don't want to get behind with the IRS either. So I would reach out to our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org as a next step. Let's see if they can help you work up a plan to actually start to make some progress on this debt so we can move toward getting you out of this hole over the next 6 months, at least on the right, you know, in the right direction. So hopefully that's helpful to you, Miguel. I know this is challenging. You can do this, my friend, but call anytime if we can be of assistance. Let's go to Louisiana. Chantel, how can we help?
Hi. Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure, yeah.
I've heard you say that you should freeze your credit sometimes. And unfortunately, I'm on the other end of that, to where if you don't do it, what will happen? I have a company suing me for a credit card that I did not open, and I have a petition in court and everything, and I just don't know what to do about this situation. They used the wrong name, like they have my name, but a different middle name and a different address somewhere that I've never stayed before.
Wow.
Where can I start?
Yeah. That's a great question. Well, I'm so sorry to hear you're going through this. And unfortunately, the credit freeze isn't going to help you for this situation. It's going to help prevent this from happening in the future, because anybody opening an account in your name with your social security number, regardless of whether they have the address right, the lender is going to require that they take a look at your credit report, and the freeze would require that they have a PIN number they wouldn't have. And so hopefully, you know, that will stop someone in their tracks from doing this again, you know, in the future. In terms of where you go from here, I mean, it sounds like you're working through it. I mean, first, you don't want to ignore it. You know, if you get a legal summons, you have usually 20 to 30 days to respond. You verify the debt isn't yours, so you can, you know, check your credit reports. Have you looked? Is it on your credit report?
I don't see it on my credit report.
Yeah.
I pull
yeah.
my Experian credit report from annualcreditreport.com, and I don't see it there.
Okay.
Unless it's under one of the other reporting companies.
Yeah. And but it is a credit card, though. Is it one credit card?
It's one credit card.
Yeah.
Okay. For about $4,000. Yeah.
Okay. So you need to respond. So you got a judgment in the mail, or what is it? How did it come to you?
The sheriff knocked on my door saying that I have a petition.
Okay.
Petition filed in my name.
Okay.
So I went down to the courthouse to pick it up.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And so, you know, what you would want to do is consider getting some legal help. And I realize that can be expensive in and of itself, but you want somebody to walk alongside you. You know, you would, under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, you can demand debt validation in writing within 30 days of the first contact. So, you know, you want to ask for the original application, your signature, the account records. You'd want to mail that via certified mail for proof, because if they can't prove that it's yours, i.e., you know, they can't show the application with your signature, then obviously that weakens the case there. You know, I would, you know, probably file a police report for identity theft. You'll want to check with the credit bureaus. It sounds like you did that, but you're going to want to look at all three if you haven't. And obviously, if it's not there, that's another, you know, thing in your favor. You know, I think getting somebody to walk alongside you, you know, in terms of legal help, because if it goes to hearing, you're going to need to bring your evidence, which would be the police report, the credit reports, anything showing you didn't open the account. The company has to prove you owe the debt, and without your signature or solid records, they're going to struggle with that. So You know, I'm not a lawyer, of course, and this is a legal matter, so you need legal counsel at the end of the day. But there are processes and pieces in place that I think you need to start working through. You've checked the credit report. I think the next thing is, you know, filing the for the identity theft, the police report, and I think demanding the details from the credit card company showing that it's yours, which they won't be able to do, and then perhaps find somebody legally who could walk alongside you. Keep us posted, Chantel. We'll be right back.
And that is the purpose of the Word of God, to help us see us as we are. It is a mirror to show us who we are, to help us see ourselves as God sees us. And when we truly see ourselves as naked before God, we become candidates for His grace and His forgiveness.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, Captured by Grace, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Several European countries discovered that COVID vaccine shots were dangerous for, I think, males under 30. I'm just saying, RFK Jr., he would have fallen into the category that I just described, right?
Yes.
He is the one Kennedy that no Democrat wants anything to do with.
Why is that?
The fact that he endorsed Trump.
Okay. Well, then they need a shot for TDS.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Let's head right back to the phones to Texas. Hi, Carlos. How can we help?
Good morning. How are you? Thank you for taking
sure.
the call.
Absolutely, sir.
I wanted to ask, I used to work in New York in a school district, and I moved to Texas 3 years ago. But I want to collect part of my pension that I have there, but I am still working here in Texas in the school district. I asked the lady if that will affect me here, and she said no, because it's two different states. Just want to make sure.
Yeah,
I'm
so
not,
go ahead.
I'm 55. I'm going to be 55.
Okay. All right, very good. Yeah, so what are the, in terms of the New York pension, it really is going to depend on the rules of the New York State Teachers Retirement System and any impact from the Texas employment. So I believe you're allowed to work after retirement, but there may be earnings limits and restrictions. Are you under 65?
Yes. I'm 55. I'm going to be 55 earlier.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah. So have you been in touch with New York, their retirement system, just to talk about your eligibility?
I did. They told me that it's two different pensions, two different states. Mm-hmm. So that's what they told me. I just want to make sure that it won't affect me here. And I was reading some of the rules, the policy that they have there. I believe it's you cannot make more than, I think it's 35,000.
Yeah, I think that's right. But that would only apply to you, working again in the New York area. So my understanding of the way this works is, you know, as long as you've met the service requirements, typically the 10 years for vesting and then the full benefits at 30 years or age 62, you know, the New York State Teachers Retirement is not going to care about out-of-state work. And that limit, earnings limit, would only apply if you returned into New York State public employment. So I think you're probably in good shape, but ultimately the New York State Retirement System would be the one to confirm that your pension is active and unrestricted for out-of-state work. But if that's what they're telling you, then that's what I would, you know, count on.
Yeah, I just want to double-check because I don't want to because I still have another pension here. I'm building another TRS pension in Texas.
Right.
And
yeah, I mean, ultimately, they're going to be the one that would tell you that. But based on what I'm seeing, that is accurate. And that earnings limit would only apply to you returning to work in the state of New York as a teacher. And so then it really just comes down to, do you meet the service requirements? And if you do, doesn't sound like you should have any issue. I would confirm that with them. And assuming you have, then I think you're in good shape, Carlos.
I really appreciate it. So now that if I retire at the age of 62 here in the future, God willing, I believe they allow to collect Social Security and pension also at the same time, right?
Yes. So there's been some changes on that recently that would have resulted in that windfall elimination. And so, yes, you should be able to, moving forward, you know, be able to collect both. But I would check with the Social Security Administration. They can give you the most up-to-date information. You could, you know, schedule a meeting there in person, or you could get somebody on the phone to review your specific record, and they could give you the details on your record, how much you've paid into the system, and how this change in the windfall elimination that happened in the very tail end of the Biden administration will affect you. But it should be in your favor for sure. So sounds like you're in great shape, my friend. We appreciate your call. Call any time if we can be of assistance. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Jeremy. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Yeah, I kind of have a twofold question. First, I wanted to ask, with the faith-based investing, would it be worth my time if all I have is about $500 to get started?
Yeah, it certainly could be. You're going to have to check the share class of any of the mutual funds you engage with. The easiest thing would probably be, you know, more and more of these faith-based investing asset managers are creating ETFs, exchange-traded funds. And so that makes it really simple to invest with a much smaller amount of money. So, for instance, we were talking to Finney Curavilla today, Eventide. They have their flagship mutual funds, like their you know, Gilead fund and their health sciences fund. But a lot of times those, depending on the share class, can require higher minimums than you might have. But now they have an exchange-traded fund, and that would be a great way for you to get good diversification, to be able to take advantage of their faith-based investing strategies, but with a very small amount of money, where you'd open a brokerage account at, let's say, Fidelity or Schwab, and you could buy, you know, one of those ETFs. So what I would do is, you know, you could go to Eventide Eventidefunds.com to learn more. If you want a list of all the faith-based investing asset managers, I can give you a website to go to, to download a free PDF. It's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That will give you all the faith-based asset managers that we track. Probably, I think there's around 15 of them. And any that have exchange-traded funds, I think that would be your opportunity.
Okay. And then the second part of the question is, if you had a credit card that was about $500 that you could pay off with that, would you invest, or would you just go ahead and pay off the credit card?
Absolutely, I would pay off the credit card because, you know, whatever that interest rate is, I mean, it's probably 25%. You're not going to get a guaranteed 25% return in the market, and that's what you're going to get by paying off that credit card. So, yeah, I'd wipe that out, but then I'd make sure I'm living within my means. I'm not, you know, I'm building an emergency fund of, you know, 3 to 6 months expenses. So you've got a cushion. We don't ever go back into credit card debt. We only use credit cards for budgeted items, pay it off at the end of the month. And then once you have that emergency fund, now is the time to then start making systematic investments, into, let's say, a retirement account, either through work or an IRA or something like that.
Well, I appreciate you, man. Thank you, and God bless you.
All right, you too, Jeremy. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Texas. Roland, how can we help?
Hey, man, I was just wondering, I'm a young man, just turned 18. I'm looking for some resources to educate myself on, investing and whatnot.
Yeah, let me do this, Roland. I love that you're young and just getting started here with investing. I think that's awesome. I'm going to send you two different resources. I'm going to send you, the first is a book called The Sound Mind Investing Handbook by Austin Pryor. And it's really going to help you start to learn the basics of investing through the lens of biblical wisdom, just kind of the blocking and tackling, if you will, of investing. It'll be a great beginning point. And then I'm going to send you a second resource that's called Open Hands Finance. And it's really created for young adults, those kind of just, heading into college or starting in their early kind of working years, just to help you understand God's heart as it relates to money management, putting your plan in place, everything from spending to the dangers of debt to investing. And if you will kind of dive into these resources, I think it'll get you set up for everything you need to know and really have a strong financial foundation under you. So these are our gift to you, Roland, for being on the program today. The Sound Mind Investing Handbook and Open Hands Finance. I think the two of those together will give you everything you need. And call us back sometime in the near future and let us know what you took away from those. Thanks for calling today. Let's finish in North Carolina. Larry, you'll be our final caller.
Hey, yeah, go ahead. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Larry, did we lose you?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
Okay, I'm 75 years old. I've been very fortunate. God's been good to me. I got about $1.5 million in a managed account. I would like to transfer that and just put it into some CDs that I could manage myself. But I've been told that I would have to pay capital gains tax on that. And I pay capital gains on the gains for my gains every year. I paid like $60,000 last year. So I don't know whether that's true or not.
Yeah. So this is a taxable account, correct? It's not a retirement account.
It is not a retirement account. It's just an investment account.
All right. And what do you own inside that?
I don't know.
Is it mutual funds or stocks or money market?
It is both. It's mutual funds and stocks, mostly stocks. And at my age, I'm tired of riding the stock markets up and downs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I say, I'm blessed. I don't really need the money at this point in my life. I have a substantial income from rental properties that I don't.
Yeah.
This is just money that's probably going to be given away, but. I would like to just put it in something that I could manage.
I hear you on that. Well, there's different types of taxes on mutual funds in particular. So you're going to need to get with a CPA who can help you sort it all out. What you've probably been paying on is the capital gain distributions, which usually happen annually. And so they pass through the profits and you pay capital gains. But then when you sell the mutual funds, you're taxed on the gain, the share price minus what you paid for it, which is the cost basis. So you're going to need to understand kind of the nuances of what taxes have already been paid and what taxes you will have to pay upon the sale. And then that'll tell you what you're going to have left over to move into the CD portfolio. So I'd reach out and get a CPA to kind of help you navigate that so you don't have any surprises. Thanks for your call. Well, big thanks to my team today, Devin, Sandy, Jim, and everybody here at FaithFi. Couldn't do it without them. If you'd like to become a partner, go to faithfi.com and click give and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.